Get up with Annie and Ando only on Joy.
We're talking this morning op shops. And, you know, stores in Melbourne and or Melbourne metropolitan area are starting to open again today. Op shops have been closed because of lockdown. And you know what? The more environmentally conscious we get, Annie, I reckon the more popular. Like, they've been popular for a while. Are you an op shopper?
Yeah, I've been op shopping since I was a teenager when things, you want something cheap. All students want to get a good deal. And often a particular store, very red, an op shop. Actually, there's a few of them. But down the hipster ends of Sydney Road, you'll find
Savoirs.
Oh, Savoirs.
Savoirs, the French Savoirs.
Yes, every now and then they'd have a Monday deal where you could get real steal. Yeah, like your whole trolley load, everything would be half price.
Yeah, and all clothes 50 cents or something.
Something ridiculous like that. And you could, I would see families going in and doing their yearly shop. Like the kids are getting everything they need.
Yeah, I used to go more often for costumes and stuff.
That's true, that too.
Like I need a tweed blazer for a Sherlock Holmes outfit I'm trying to go for. And you guarantee you'd get one. It always surprised me how easy it is to find something that fits.
That's true. And they're done by sizing racks
often.
So you know exactly where to head. Your section's there. And then you can go over, scoot over to shoes and get
Hang on, whoa. Would you buy shoes from an op shop?
I wouldn't. But no, that's my mum's superstition either. Rubbed off on me. What's your reason?
Feet. I'm not into feet. And the thought of putting my foot where someone else's has been, nah.
And what about a dusting of powder?
Oh, well, first of all, talc gives you ovarian cancer, so I'm not going to do that.
I'll throw your feet onto you.
Well, yes, you're still shaking. If you're shaking talc around. Not shoes. It's a bit like undies. Would you buy undies at an op shop?
If it had the tags on, absolutely. If I saw something I liked.
It's a fetish for some people to have them used. But anyway, let's not go there.
But some places will refuse to accept those things, and it depends on the shop.
I think so. I think it's because you can see sometimes there's singlets. So there's a form of underwear there. So, but I don't think you see undies and bras, do you?
No, you do. Bras in particular would be one that is probably commonly accepted. But again, check with your local store. But I've seen bras at Savoirs.
Oh, never knew that.
Do you need one? I'll get you one.
As he
comes out of lockdown.
My COVID boobs have got rather large, yes. But it does make me wonder about the volume of stuff that is not useful for these op shops, it turns up, and how people just dump sometimes crap out the front of the store during the night.
That's true. At the moment, they haven't been accepting anything because there's no one there to sort it, which makes sense. Dumping has been
banned. Do you reckon it's stopped? I've still seen bags out the front of some op shops.
That's true. I think somebody has to come and just do a sweep. I don't know what happens to it, though.
Do you know, talk about, not evolution, but like the world go round, the circle of life. That's what I'm thinking. I did see something quite heartwarming the other month about out the front of an op shop. There was bags of stuff and there was a homeless guy going through the bags.
Oh, yeah, often there is. Yeah.
And I thought, that's cool. Like, insofar as he needs clean clothes and there they are, that's opportunity.
But I think they do have programs where they give clothes already.
Oh, do they?
Too. Yeah, so I think that encouraging that probably makes more people come to do that.
So
yeah.
I mean, it is
quite sad, but I think there are four more avenues, for example, through Vinnie's or the Salvo's where they go out and they do provide free stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I can't believe we get to chat to Jeff Antcliffe, who is the head of retail for Vinnie's, coming up later on the show.
I volunteered at one of their stores and I know exactly how to sort the clothes, so you can ask me all about it.
All right, let me talk to you about Carol, not Karen, from finance and what happened to her at the op shop too.
Cracking you up at the crack of dawn. It's Annie and Ando on Joy 94.9.
Quarter past six, 10 degrees and forecast top of 20 for Melbourne. We're talking op shops this morning.
Retail's back and can't wait. All my friends and I have been keen to get our hands on some op shop clothing.
Do you think because people have been locked down, they've I don't know about you, but I've cleaned up. I've done some cupboard sorting and some, and we've had a change of season as well.
Yeah.
Do you think that people are going to have bags ready to go?
I think so. Bags ready to go and money to go and spend because they don't want to online shop anymore. Like, we're sick over it. Things that don't fit and they're expensive and you have fees to send it back if you want to exchange or refund something.
Can you return stuff to an op shop?
You can if the tag's still on. It's like a
really?
Normal store, yeah.
Oh, wow, I never knew that.
So maybe if you're really stingy after your costume party, you take it back.
Now, you said at the top of the show that you once volunteered.
I did. Well, once in my life.
One day.
What do you think I'm doing shift. Now? Yeah, one day, one shift. one
sack.
Shot.
God, how did you get sacked from the op shop, Annie?
Look, I did volunteer at Vinnie's through work and our whole team went down and we helped out kind of like some places do soup kitchens.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I learned so much and I've been so fond of that experience that I'm super keen to sign up to do it again, maybe with my housemates as a bit of a team bonding exercise. But we sorted clothes for a full evening and there were different buckets, crates, and we transfer those buckets, those clothes into different areas depending on where they were headed. So we...
What were some of the crates labelled? Like jackets, jumpers?
No, it was all the clothing was in a mishmash together. Yeah. Oh. You could get... Undies would come out, but this store did not accept...
No skiddies.
Undies. Yeah, we did not. That went straight into a
bin. Did you have
gloves
on?
I think it was optional. Back then, you know, we were not that much about the gloves and all that. No, it's fine. Like, hands, they're washable. And it has already been somewhat filtered through. So all of these are definitely clothes.
Yep.
And they're probably not terribly, terribly soiled. For instance, somebody's gone with a rake, gone through them the first time, you know, because it wasn't too difficult to identify what they were. There were no, like, no bric-brac or bric-a-brac, whatever they...
You know what they could do? They could, because they're not working very hard at the moment, all those security dogs at the airport, you know, they're walking around the airport by themselves and it's really hard to train them because there's no passengers. Maybe they could use them to sort all the soiled stuff.
Oh, I don't think there's as much as you think. Like, you'd have to be a little cuckoo to put...
dirty stuff in.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible. I think we're very aware now and... It's not gross. We pulled out things and we put them into a different crate if it was still good, like had some holes, but still wearable, and that would get sent over to Fiji. Not sure why they picked Fiji as
a country. So stuff that's not good enough for the Australian stores then got sent to a country that needed
it for free. So they'd get free clothing, and then there was another pile for pilling. Specifically, anything that has that little balls. Yeah, so still wearable, but it doesn't look fantastic.
You can use a razor blade, like a shaver, carefully, because I've put many a hole in clothes, and shave. And there's
so interesting.
Anti-pilling machine, or the pilling machines that go... And now I've ruined clothes.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah,
I think... It's never been such a problem that it kept me up at
Kogan sells
night.
Them for 20 cents once a year. Keep an eye out.
Okay. And there would be clothes that were... not fashionable for this particular store because it's known as the most fashionable store in Melbourne. Don't want to give it away because, you know.
You're south of the river. Oh, no, there's a few. There's a contest between one in Collingwood and one in Toorak. There's,
okay, not even those. Not even thinking there's another one in the mix. So they would get, the clothes that weren't as fashionable got sent off to different stores and then there were the prime pickings that would stay in that store and move on to the labelling, which is the gun.
Cha-ching. Hey, while you were sorting, if you saw something that you liked, could you say, excuse me, can I buy this?
Yes. Yeah, actually, you get it for free, but if you ask politely at the end of the shift, somebody would come and see if you picked anything.
How much did you get?
Yeah. Just a reasonable amount if you wanted it. You reckon that's good? It's a good trade-off. I mean, lots for volunteering, that's pretty good.
I think there's a rule in one of these op shops chains that is... the sorters or the people that work in the store or volunteer in the store can't touch the goods or can't actually buy the goods themselves for 3 days. It has to be on the shelf for 3 days.
And then they could get it for free?
And then they could get it for free. Oh, but they found a loophole. These, and I was going to say mature because there's a lot of mature aged workers in them, the ones I go to. They hide the stuff they want.
So in the store somewhere?
In the store somewhere. Funny. So technically it is for sale and it is on the shelf, but they've hidden it. And then they sweat bullets for 3 days.
Yeah, going, where's my antique tea set now in the toy section? Oh. You commented on something that I am wearing.
A bit of lace coming out your jumper when you first walked in the door, Annie Louie.
Not something I would wear every day, but it specifically put it on for this show because I bought it overseas at an op shop.
Looks brand new.
It does.
Because lace catches, so I don't wear lace, just want to put that out there, but It's easy to catch.
Gold, you can get pulls. Yeah, often it's an evening wear thing.
Yeah, it's after dark.
It's after dark with a nice smoky eye or...
Oh, you love a smoky
leather
eye.
...leather jacket. Yeah, it goes well. And I managed to find this in the swanky rich people suburbs in Scotland.
Hey!
We took a bus and it was so worth it. I mean, it wasn't appropriate for me to wear the fake fur jacket that I found, but, oh, £20.
What? So hang on, you caught a bus is it that world famous this op shop that you caught a bus just
not
to go to
a
that?
Op shop, a whole strip of them.
Oh.
So it's worthwhile because you can skip across the street, keep popping in and out of every store till you find all the good stuff, and apparently it's good because there's a lot of rich people who don't need their things anymore.
Can we go back to your fake fur? Why couldn't you wear that? Is that non-PC these days?
No, it's just a weird thing to wear to radio.
Oh. I'm thinking, can't you even wear, you'd hate Peter, the animal protection group, to get it wrong, and because some of the fakes are so real.
You did remind me of something, though. On the jacket, when I went to pay for it, I had to ask, what is this on the jacket? And it looked kind of like chewing gum that had been melted into it.
Oh.
And, you know, when you have that discussion, they're like, yeah, it'll come off, or what do I do? Can I do the thing?
Pop it in the freezer.
And then what? Smack it off?
Yeah, because chewing gum, as soon as you start to pull it off your clothing, it starts to get tackier and tackier. Mm. So if you can put the whole garment in the freezer, do that and leave it in there for half a day, or hold ice against it and it'll make it hard.
Okay.
And pick it off.
I think I ended up using scissors and just having a little snip.
So your fur coat got a bloody trim.
Just a little patch. Hey, it's more realistic.
It is. It's like the wound that actually took out the animal. The hole in the pelt.
Yes. I look richer now because of it.
They call it a pelt?
I think so, yeah. What do they call them? Stoles? When you have a... Is that, where a fox kind of fur around the neck? Yeah.
I'm going to really upset some listeners. See, I'm okay with a fox around your neck because the foxes have killed so much of my livestock at the farm.
It's revenge.
And so as a prevention of killing my newborn calves, you know what? You can wear it around your neck.
How does it work? Because they're introduced and people are killing them anyway, I suppose, farmers and things.
Yep.
And, it's kind of recycling if you reuse the coat.
Yes. I would like to make
Peter,
jerky.
Do not listen to this.
No, do not. We're not going to get a Peter Award for this. But I would like to use the carcass as jerky or something for the dogs. That'd be nice.
Can that be done? Is there a recipe?
No, I haven't tried. Not going to try any, Louie.
We have a message in from Luke saying...
Oh, good morning, Luke.
Like Ando, I've hit up op shops for costumes, but embarrassingly, some of these costumes work their way into my regular wardrobe. Embarrassing. Emoji.
Is there an embarrassing emoji?
That blushing one with the big eyes. Like, ooh.
I thought that was hot under the collar. I've been using that all wrong. Yeah, if you get
what do you use the eggplant for? Lord knows.
Veganism. Oh, God. You're going to have to teach me emojis. But I can imagine Luke, he's got his Harry Potter outfit and suddenly he finds himself wearing it off to the office the next day.
He's going, I can't tell the difference between this and my office attire.
I just thought the vest went really well with my green chino.
It says Gryffindor on it, sir. But it's happened to me as well, because why not get bang for your buck and another use out of your costume items if you can separate them out and wear them as a jacket or as... Maybe you bought some cool, funky socks. Why not? And it's happened to me where I went to a vintage store and I'm not sure where the lines are blurred. Vintage has to be of a certain caliber, you'd think, right? That's what makes them different from an op shop buy. But then I think some people who work at vintage stores go to op shops to pick the best stuff then. I think vintage has a definition. By definition, should be a label, from a label.
From a label and... an era, so it's a 70s or it's a 60s or it's the 50s.
Yeah. Ah. But there's one in the city, a vintage clothing store, and I went there and I don't know what I was looking for. Often that's the problem. You need to know what you're looking for before you get swayed. And I picked out this lovely woolen poncho. And
sounds like an oxymoron. A woolen poncho, and you said lovely.
Yeah, I had some wonderful colours. I like the fringing, and the guy comes
it's worse,
over.
The fringing, far out, woman.
Well, it's hard when you're shopping. You're easily swayed.
What were you thinking?
The guy working there comes along and goes, "You should try that on." And I went, "Okay." Pop to the dressing room, put it on in the mirror by myself. I'm like, not really feeling it. Then go out, and they start commenting, and he's like, "Oh, that is lovely. You know, such a winter look. You could put that with boots." And then I started envisioning that I could wear this poncho, and I ended up buying it. Ah. Then I went home, looked back in the mirror, putting it on again. Regrets, instant regrets, going, he was kidding me. Like, this is going straight to the costume cupboard.
You needed his special mirror that makes everything look hot in it, and you needed him beside you going, "Girlfriend, that's, yeah, exactly. you look hot. No, seriously.
I'll take 10.
Yeah.
Walked out, and I wore it to a Mexican
How
party
How much are we
once.
Talking?
Oh, my Lord. Don't even. You just got me riled up on the price again. $100. 100 clams.
Hang on. I thought there was a law that op shops aren't allowed to charge more than
it's
$5
vintage,
or something.
Vintage, honey.
So that would have been, theoretically, let's just say it was a, I don't know, Prada or a Louis Vuitton, and that might have been $4,000 in its original sale. And
potentially.
Then, let's hope it was, for $100 for a fringe knitted poncho. White, was it?
No, it was dark blue and camel tan coloured.
God, this sounds sounds freaking horrific, Annie.
I think there was something in the water when I went in, you know.
He was
have
good.
A free drink. He was good.
He was really good. Coming up, we're talking to Jeff Antcliffe, the retail general manager of Vinnie's, to find out, are they ready to reopen?
Mm-hmm.
Miss the show? Don't worry. You can get the best bits of Annie and Ando on the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Up early with Annie and Ando this morning, we are very excited about shops reopening, and one of the places you might be interested in going to save money, perhaps, with your clothing purchases is St. Vincent de Paul Society, otherwise known as Vinnie's, and we have the General Manager of Retail with us today to chat about the reopening. Please welcome to the show, Jeff Antcliffe.
Lovely to be on the show with you.
Jeff, I'm guessing you're a busy man right now in this very moment, because stuff's changed this week, for particularly for Melburnians and Victorians. What's going on at Vinnie's?
Well, we got a huge surprise when the Premier announced that we could actually open as of tomorrow morning.
Woo-hoo!
So we're really looking forward to welcoming our team back of the volunteers and also all those wonderful customers that we have.
Will there be any changes to the store? I assume you will have to reduce the numbers of people inside. You have to change the layouts, etc.
Well, we've been COVID safe for a long period of time. We've met all the government requirements throughout the whole process of the COVID pandemic. So we're actually just all ready to go with exactly the same processes we had in place when we traded through the stage 3 and stage 4. We're not taking a step back from what we've already been doing. So we have sanitizer in the stores. We're asking everyone to wear masks. We're insisting on that 1.5 meter distancing to keep it clean and safe for all our customers and our team.
That's handy that you had it ready to go. Are you anticipating, I guess, an increase in customers? Like, are you thinking they're going to be lining up out the front?
We are expecting to see a lot of people wanting to get out, and we do know that there's been a lot of customers reaching out to us through social media saying they're really looking forward to getting back into their Vinnie's, particularly our volunteers wanting to come back as part of the Vinnie's family. And we will have limits on how many people we would allow based on our individual stores.
I was wondering, because during this time, everyone's been cleaning and trying to get rid of their stuff, but you haven't been accepting any donations. So what's happening there? And do you expect an influx of people wanting to drop stuff off?
Well, first of all, we want to say thank you to all those wonderful people that have been saving those donations, putting them aside for us. What we're asking them to is be a little bit patient with us. Our shops are predominantly volunteers. We have 6,200 odd volunteers here in Victoria.
Oh, wow.
We'll work through it together, and we'll be able to start to take donations as of tomorrow. But there will be times where we'll need to say, just for safety and to enable us to quarantine, we may need to take a stop and a pause from time to time.
One time I volunteered at a Vinnie's store, and it was so much fun picking through all of the items and putting them away in different types of bins. Can you give us a bit of insight into what that's like behind the scenes?
it's a wonderful experience. And some of the donations we get to see can be antique books. I saw one donation which was a Tower of London Bridge made out of matchsticks, which was about 2 metres long.
Wow.
So
was that somebody's craft?
Absolutely. And it was, you know, glass.
Hang on, Annie's just running out the door to try and track that one down, I think.
No, it was actually one that I made. I don't want it back.
What we get donated, it's just the most amazing things. Everything from brand new clothes, have still got their tags on them. If you want something, it's probably in Vinnie's.
We are chatting to Jeff Antcliffe, General Manager of Retail at Vinnie's, and we're super pumped to be able to go back and do some op shopping. This is a bit of a personal question for you. What's the best bargain that you've seen at one of your stores?
I actually got myself a wonderful rod and gun jacket.
Ooh.
Still had the tags on it, so I was really happy with that.
Nice. They do some good stuff.
Very nice.
Are they a Kiwi company really or nice. Australian company, rod and gun?
Kiwi company.
Yeah, very good stuff.
More importantly, would they be interested in sponsoring this show?
One of the things that I always wonder is the inappropriate things that people drop off in those bags or in the bins that you just have to throw out. What's some of the stuff that we shouldn't know about that you've seen come through?
We've really been working on a message. If it's not good enough for your family, it's not good enough for Vinnie's.
Yes. Yeah.
Stuff we are getting is so much better than what we were even only 4 years ago.
Wow.
So much less waste. I also think it comes back to that whole thing about wanting to be environmentally sustainable. Mm. They're understanding what we do and how we're so vital to the circular economy. I believe that's actually making a real shift in what people are thinking about their donation because they know it's actually needed in the shop.
Yeah.
Amazing. And for anyone out there who's listening who might be interested in volunteering with Vinnie's or another op shop, do you have a process you can tell us about?
Yes, there is. A couple of options. You could either go straight into our shops, ask to see the team and to ask about volunteering. You can dial our 1-300-736-933 number. You could also go straight onto our webpage and apply to become a volunteer with Vinnie's.
Jeff Antcliffe, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us this morning. Best wishes for particularly the coming days and weeks as customers start to flood back to your Vinnie stores. Take care and talk to you soon.
Hello, this is your morning wake-up call with compliments from Annie and Ando on Joy 94.9.
Annie, I think I shouldn't generalise, but I think a lot of people do want to get back to the op shops and find themselves a bargain.
Absolutely, such as Neil, member 755 from Karen Downs.
Morning, Neil.
Morning. My cousin worked at the Salvos at Preston Market and she furnished her holiday home at McRae for free from the op shop. Why are you laughing?
No, that's like a whole house. That's not just like Annie's got a new top.
Yeah,
that is a whole house.
See what volunteering can do for your holiday home? It's fantastic. Also, a friend found a Norman Lindsay sketch for $5 and sold it for a few thousand.
No way.
Forgive me, I had to Google who Norman Lindsay is, but he illustrated and wrote The Magic Pudding amongst many Aussie classics like the posters for wartime.
$2,000. Rewind, let's go back to the house. The thing with that is some of those big op shops accept large furniture. You could get a dining table, bookcase, buffet, and sofa.
Furnished. I kind of missed the point there. I didn't realise furnished. I was like, oh, decorations, yes.
No, we're talking
couches.
Couches, beds.
Oh. Tables.
Would you take a mattress from the op shop?
I don't think they accept mattresses. Check with your local retailer.
I don't think they should take mattresses. That's what I'm thinking.
The pillows, I don't think they do at all. Yeah, none of that.
You know when you get clothes home from an op shop, they sometimes that smell comes with them. It's not the smell of the store, but it's actually in the clothes.
Yeah, apparently it's skin and human sense.
And sweat and scents from the environment like exhaust fumes and really tricky to get out. The best way, if you can wash it and use something like a antibacterial soak.
Yep.
And you start with cold water. Warm water sometimes sets smells in.
Ooh.
And here's a fun fact for you. If it's a thing like a leather jacket or something that can't be washed, put it in a big box, cover it completely with clean kitty litter.
Oh, kitty litter.
And the charcoal that is in most kitty litters is actually an odour absorber and it'll strip it out.
Oh, wonderful. There you go, full of handy stuff. Who knows what we're going to give you tomorrow.
I love a handy hint.
A handy hint.
Coming up tomorrow, we're talking camping, Annie Louie.
I know. Well, soon we must surely be able to go camping.
Do you like camping?
I do. Big fan.
Yeah, my idea of camping is when I can't get the penthouse at the hotel and they put me on level one.
Disgusting.
I'm not. Oh, actually, I do like camping. It's the toileting that I don't like about camping.
Yeah, but you can also get some pretty nice outdoor toilets these days. And they sometimes smell even less.
Not like a
than
drop.
Than my share house.
What do they call it? Drop hole? Drop pit?
Drop toilet. They're just called drop toilet.
Oh.
Bit of sawdust.
Mm. Oh, sorry if you're eating your brekkie. Make sure you stick around for the Murphys because we will be back with you at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
You're See up you then.
Mornings are brighter with Annie and Ando. 6 till 7 a.m. weekdays on Joy 94.9.